75.
Establish the Commission on Equitable Contracting and Purchasing to increase utilization of minorities and women-owned businesses in city contracting and in the workforce on city-funded projects.
Very happy to queue up this discussion this morning. We have some panels here to present on this idea. It's something that, a goal that's broadly shared here among members of the council, and it's one where we've made some progress. In 2007, 2008, about little less than 1% of our contracting dollars from the city went to minority-owned businesses. In 2012, 2013, that's up to 5.5% of total funds and 16.5% of involvement in some contracts. So that's good news. There has been progress. There are some significant problems in the configuration of how that's happening. It tends to be more of the lower-paying jobs, for example, flaggers in construction as opposed to the other trades. You'll hear more about that today. There are wage disparities between workers of color and other workers, white workers in the workplace. So there are issues here in terms of what kind of progress are we making, even while we are happy about making some. So the intention of this discussion and the creation of this commission is to have a formal effort, not beyond our bureaus themselves, but engaging critical people from the community that are involved in this work to work in partnership with us. And again, we have some panels queued up to talk about both the numbers and the research, the policy issues, and the opportunities. So let me start by calling Andrew McGough, James Posey, and Dante James as the first of those panels to come up and speak with us this morning. Thank you all for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I think I'll go first, right?
You go first, James.
It is indeed a good morning. Thank you very much, Mayor and council members.
Just put your name in the record, James.
My name is James Posey.
Most of you all know me. But
I've been harassing you all for many years. honestly, it's to my knowledge, Mayor, this is the you're the first mayor who has raised this issue to the level in their administration that deserves merit. And I want to thank you for that. It's, you spoke at the City Club and you spoke about it. And really, unless we have that sort of energy and that sort of leadership on these kind of matters, we're doomed to just kind of muddle along. So thank you very much for that and making this a priority. It goes without saying that your staff has also been really involved in this. Your guy Josh is a hot shot over there. Gail and Bryant and even Fred from the procurement area there worked to put this together. From my perspective, this is really an amazing commitment. And frankly, I'm just going to be honest with you, I didn't think it would occur. I guess I've been jaded after many years of doing this kind of stuff and working along these lines, but this is really an amazing kind of attempt to put the right to ship. Today, it's kind of ironic that this is this ordinance is being introduced because this is Black History Month, as you all know, and very few people know why these sort of efforts came into being in the first place. And many of you that have been around for a long time got that gray hair. I understand back in the 70s when they were having riots and community unrest, et cetera, that many of these programs were came into force because of those issues and the disparity and the issues in these communities. And quite frankly, we're still having those sort of disparities and issues to today. We're talking 20, 25 years out. So it's a real interesting thing here that we're introducing this ordinance, and you all are focusing on what we're trying to do today. Let me just be honest about this. Suffice to say that this is really just the first step, because we have a lot of work to do. And if we are successful in this, then it will be because you all have taken an intentional, aggressive, and results-based approach to getting this done. That's going to be huge. It means there's going to be a broader, deeper collaboration and accountability at all levels. I'm going to say that again, a broader, deeper collaboration, accountability at all levels. You know, if we're not measuring this stuff, then it's not counting, and I think most of you all know that. Then I can't say enough about our relationship with Portland State and Curry Smith and those folk over there. This is exciting for me because we take academia and bring it home to a community and let them involve us in solutions. This is a huge, huge thing. I don't know if people understand that, but this is huge. It means that these, and here I want to be real clear about this. It means that we'll have a better assessment of these policies and how they translate into economic well-being in communities of color. We can maybe really see what's going on in these communities, whether or not we're being lifted as a result of our procurement policies. I want to point to my friend back there, Alvin Hall. We worked on the Tooele curves 20 years ago. You all know those Tooele curves. We were back there. He's the oldest African-American dump truck owner in the state, 1972. Still chewing tobacco out of truck. I don't get that story. So Delta Park, I can go on and on and on, talk about the history of what we've done here. It also means that this issue is comprehensive based, data driven, and that's also huge. We can actually look at things and see things as they're happening in real time. We don't have to wait a year or 2 years to really assess this or a disparity study. And so, in summary, there's a vision here for me, and the vision is about Portland being all it can be. I see this commission as a way of how Portland can do things differently. I'd like to see personally that this commission and this equity policy be at the same sort of level as when folk come to look at our transit system. They come from all around to look at Metro and so forth. And I think if we're successful in this thing and we really put our minds and our energies to doing this, we can have people coming from all over the nation and admiring, trying to replicate what we're trying to do here with this policy. So I thank you very much. And there's a lot of other people who want to talk, so I'll shut up right now.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. Thank you for letting me come and support what I think is a really important ordinance. You know, James didn't give himself credit enough for this, but he's a new board member for us.
Andrew, you need to put your name in the record.
I'll put my name on the record. Sorry, Andrew McGough. I'm the director of the Workforce Development Board for the City of Portland, Washington, Multnomah Counties. But James, his passion around these issues is real, and it's palatable, and I think it's very genuine. And I feel honored to be here sitting next to him at this time, because this is something he's worked on for a long, long time. So we also, as the Workforce Investment Board, have a longstanding interest in trying to help women and people of color prepare for jobs in the construction industry, but also our goal is really to help people advance in those jobs and achieve self-sufficiency. And we know that a career in construction is just that. It's a career. It offers advancement opportunities, and it offers a pathway to the middle class. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to go through the data, but I think we've done a relatively good job of getting people and people of color into certain jobs in the construction trades. The question is, how well do we do in moving them forward? And I really think that this commission, as proposed, will allow us to create the kind of accountability, as James mentioned, through the data and through persistent look at that data in a disaggregated way to see who is coming in and who's moving up. Because I think ultimately that's the sort of real test here, is how do people get into these jobs, but also how do they advance and where do they land? And ultimately, do they begin to own businesses and then hire more people? So I think underlying this ordinance is that kind of opportunity. And on behalf of our board, my staff, we're 100% behind this ordinance and hope you'll support it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Director James, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Council. Dante James, the Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And it is my absolute pleasure to be here in support of this commission and give kudos to James. And I know his hard work over a long period of time, and also to you for continuing to institutionalize the concept of equity and the work of equity in this city. You know, there's a quote that I love, which says that organizations move in the direction of the questions they ask. And it's my expectation, and I know for a fact, that it will be this commission that will continue to ask the questions that move this work forward. I think, as many of you know, I ran the contracting program in the city of Denver for about 6 years. And so I know for a fact that this work is important and it's necessary. You know, James can talk about the history of contracting in Oregon and the city in Portland. Recently, with the disparity study, the procurement office put together a board of pre-qualification so that all general contractors have to come and be pre-qualified. But the application now has been changed to specifically ask about utilization of minority businesses on the work that they've done in the past. And I can specifically tell you, based on the responses that I've read to that application, the surprise that many contractors feel when they're asked the question, the lack of knowledge that they have on who or whether they have utilized minority businesses on their work. And they are taking notice that now it's important because the city is asking the question. And I think that's really what we're talking about, is what questions are we asking, which then creates the expectation that we're serious about this work. And I think this commission will reflect that, and I look forward to seeing the good work of the commission. So I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak on behalf of this work.
Okay. Thank you. Thank questions you. For this panel?
Mayor, I have a question for James Posey. James, when we did the last update to the disparity study, one of the things that the citizen oversight body flagged for us was that there were qualified minority contractors that couldn't compete for the work because they couldn't get adequate bonding or access to capital. Is it your intention that this commission would also look at those issues about existing barriers in the marketplace that prevent people from fairly competing?
Absolutely. And, you know, Commissioner Fish, this is a progressive sort of dialogue because the bonding issue is predicated on minority contractors having work, building capital, having a reservoir of resources to be able to bond. So this is, you know, this is all a combined sort of collaborative thing, what we're talking about, putting all these pieces together so we can have a full context of where minority contractors can be successful. I just want to point out real quickly that minority contractors are behind. If we were to start today and be equitable, and I mentioned this to you, then we have to understand the expectation is really not what it ought to be, because minority contractors really need deep help in order to be competitive in today's market. The history of discrimination, exclusion has really cost. There's a cost to that. And so I don't know if that's even in the proposals that we're making, but we really need to make some acknowledgement of that moving forward.
Thank you. Other questions for this panel? Thank you all. Love those three terms, James: intentional, aggressive, results-based. Those are great criteria for us. Thank you. So our next panel actually is going to talk about the research that really undergirds this work. Ann Curry-Stevens, Greg Schrock, and Matt Chorpening from PSU have done the research that really fuels our effort here, and we appreciate you being here this morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Ann Curry-Stevens from Portland State University and the founding director of the Center to Advance Racial Equity. We've prepared a report which fortuitously has been circulating in earlier versions but is actually formally released this week. And it is a product that we believe underpins and provides concrete support for this ordinance. So we're very excited to be here in a place to share research with you and to tie it to an affirmation of the of the policy agenda before you today. The work began for us a bit over a year ago when Mr. Posey approached us and said, we really need to understand the evidence base, what's out there in terms of minority contracting today. And so as we worked with this, Matt Korpening has been is a graduate of our program and has done the bulk of the work on this. We've also been able to involve Greg Schrock out of the Urban Studies Department and a student with him, Nathan Lamb, to do research on the Selwood Bridge project and to dig into more granular data there. He's not able to be with us today. But what I thought I'd do today is to just briefly introduce the report, to canvas what's there, to launch off with a set of the challenges facing the array of minority contracting at multiple levels, to pass then the microphone to Matt, who will detail some of the best practices that are in the literature, and then to have James conclude with some of the concrete recommendations coming out of the report.
Great.
So the sections we've been able to cover in this work has been to consolidate in one place the progress of the city, the county, and metro, and for the first time ever, give light in a more focused and critical way to what's happening at the state. We also then have a section on the Selwood Bridge project, a literature review around best practices, and a set of recommendations coming forward. So the report's about 50 pages in length, and it's pretty comprehensive. As James has suggested, it's the first of its kind that has this sort of consolidated evidence, policy, practice, and literature integrated into the work. Our areas of concern are numerous, and the biggest tragedy is that minority contracting isn't living up to its promise, its potential. It is a vehicle to bring real economic progress to firms that are owned by people of color and to, therefore, community economic development in Portland, which will primarily, firstly, benefit communities of color, but then also have a ripple effect across the region. We remain deeply invested in helping these systems work better and live up to their potential. The challenges at the different levels of government we've looked at are essentially that none are meeting their targets. At the state of Oregon, they have a target of 10% of contracts for minority firms and women-owned firms, and they're at 1.3%. Metro has a target of 17%. They're at 13%. The city has a target of 27 and is just shy of 8. And the county has no target but is at 5% for minority businesses and 12% for women, emerging small business, and minority. The concrete challenges that we face as we move into this commission's work
Certainly. Are those numbers you said that you just put in the record, are they the MWESB targets or are you disaggregating them? Because I think when you say 28%, are you talking about the MWESB, which includes minority contracting, or are you pulling out one piece?
Our work on the most recent data had the city outcomes at 7.9% with the stated target of 27.
27 is the full MWESB?
I think that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
yes.
I mean, one of the things we know is that we've done better in certain categories than others.
Absolutely.
But you're talking the full spectrum of our policy.
And in fact, it's generally problematic to try to pull out how minority businesses are doing, and that's one of the challenges with the data transparency.
But are we at 7 for all the minority women and emerging small businesses?
Yes. Yes. So the concrete challenges as we move forward are these overall weak results. There has to the benefit of the state bodies involved, in many cases they've improved over the years. Some have actually have lost ground, unfortunately. Transparency in data is a real problem as we've dug into trying to collect and consolidate the data. We often have this perpetual amalgamation of minority women and emerging small business, which leaves us unable to discern how minority-owned businesses are faring. That is routinely not shared about wage structure, occupational structure, and the nature of the contracts. So, for example, the data you provided about the Selwood Bridge project around flaggers being receiving the vast majority of those investments, that was a piece we needed to discern and dig into. There's a reluctance to be transparent and open in many cases, and so data availability is an important part of this change. There also are weaknesses in accountability. So there are no consequences for not meeting targets. There are no consequences for firms not meeting targets. And so it's an important piece to do to look at the efficacy of these systems and initiatives where the consequences currently don't exist. There's a challenge of when we look at how data has either been omitted or amalgamated, it's usually in the best interests of looking good, of appearing to make better outcomes than really are there. And so there needs to be somewhat of an attitudinal or a discourse shift so that we promote greater disclosure. And in the Selwood Bridge project that we've already talked about, we need to look with a more fine grain towards towards the outcomes for different groups and different trades. And in closing, we remain deeply excited about the potential of this commission to shift the economic prospects for our locally owned firms of color and for the communities in which they reside and are deeply connected to. So we're very excited and look forward to the work that this commission performs. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll also steal a cue from Commissioner Fritz and let people know that in addition to wherever else people might be able to see the report, like at Portland State, it's going to be on our new city dashboard. So portlandoregon.gov/dashboard under economic opportunity, there'll be a link to their research here for anybody that wants to see the document. So thank you. Matt, welcome.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Matt Korpening. I am a research fellow at the Center to Advance Racial Equity. I am really happy to be here today to vocalize support for the creation of this commission. My goal right now, though, is to share best practices available in the research. They're in the report that I really hope are guiding principles for you as you consider this commission and the commission as they move forward. The research that is available is fairly scant, specifically on minority contracting. It's a relatively new thing that people are actually trying to study in fine detail. But what we have identified as practices that are successful for minority-owned businesses and in terms of creating economic opportunity for minority workers start with really aggressive procurement goals with really specific subcontracting goals and benchmarks. They also require plans for moving minority-owned businesses from subcontractor to prime contractor, and that's going to require staff whose job it is to help navigate businesses through the certification process and through the process overall to move from getting smaller subcontracts on up to becoming prime contractors. Part of that, we've already discussed earlier today about bonding requirements. One of the established best practices is that bonding requirements on smaller projects be either waived or provided by the locality. In this case, it would be the City of Portland. And also government assistance with access to capital, whether that is short-term loans or quick pay provisions requiring prime contractors to pay subs within 30 days. One of the big threats to the success and longevity of minority-owned businesses in these situations is they don't get paid quickly enough by prime contractors and by the localities they work with. The other thing that could happen in some cities, I think San Diego is one of them, direct payment of the minority-owned business subcontractors to avoid that long-term delay in payment. One of the other things that has been identified as a best practice, and it's a huge theme in our research, is the need for streamlined data collection and real-time reporting so that data collection is uniform across agencies and across prime and subcontractors to collect and report workforce data. Without being able to measure where we're at, we're not going to know if anything that's happening is that we're trying to do is actually working. Finally, just making sure that there are stiff penalties for fraud is a one of the things that has come up and had been identified in the research is that if penalties for fraud, largely in the creation of front companies that sort of on their surface look like minority-owned businesses but actually are benefiting larger majority-owned actors, if the penalties are too small, then they're viewed as the cost of doing business. And so one of the best practices is have imposed, like, very intimidating fines, and it drastically reduces the fraud. So those are the practices that we shared in the report in more detail, and I hope that the commission will frame them and put them on the wall while they're considering the work going ahead.
Thanks very much. James, you have some.
Yes, I won't, at the risk of being redundant, I won't go through all of the recommendations. They're very comprehensive in the report. I mean, they're all for everybody to see. But I want to highlight a couple of these things. And one is the regional plan. You know, we've been working in silos too long to really address this problem. And not only in the city of Portland, but, you know, across the region, we have to have leadership so we can really hone in and take advantage of the investments we were making in these projects. So that's a, number one, a regional plan. We've talked a lot about the data collection, and so that's key, real-time data collection, so we can make adjustments. We can do that. So we talked about that. But here's one that's going to give you all pushback, I think, and that is a moratorium on the low bid process. That's really important because typically minority contractors are really not in a position to be competing one-on-one with these other contractors because they're not there technically and otherwise. And so we have to acknowledge that and do something about that. That's going to really require some creative adjustment on how we do business if we are really going to make headway in that area.
Are we allowed to do that?
Well, let me put it this way. The state does, you know, they do these bids in which they're based upon
qualifications based.
They're very creative. You know, I mean, Amanda, you've been around. If people really want to do something, they figure it out, you know what I'm saying, legally and otherwise.
We sometimes do our construction management general contractor contracts, and we do that outside of the low bid, but my understanding was that there are some state mandated processes that where we have to do low bid. It's obviously something that you and the commission will delve into, and I look
forward
to hearing more about that.
Absolutely. And those best practices are out there, and negotiated bidding, you know, looking at the state procedures. And really, frankly, as I say about a regional approach to this, it may be some legislative stuff we need to do, just like you guys were talking about on the diesel and the previous commission, how you would make those adjustments and put a legislative agenda together to make these things happen. So you know what I mean. Really, Greg is not here. This was his section, and I think the report is really a very comprehensive one, and people should take time to look at it.
Yeah, we will. Thank you. Any other questions for this panel? Thank you very much. The next three people I'd like to call are Reverend Bethel, Joanne Hardesty, and Mike Alexander.
Everywhere. Good morning, Mr. Mayor, and all our commissioners. Thank you for the privilege of being here. I am Dr. T. Allen Bethel, Senior Pastor Maranatha Church, President of Albina Minister Alliance. Mr. Mayor, I do want to thank you for your work and support of this area and the resulting ordinance that's under discussion this morning. And while some progress has been made, and what compromises or comprises that progress is a question of discussion. The data and findings are clear that there is something more that must be done. This commission and ordinance seeks to do that. There are policies in place that were to ensure more participation. There still exist disparities of contracts and employment for DBE women-owned and women-owned businesses. I support the city collecting and analyzing the data to enforce and implement further goals of expanding and developing employment and contracting for minority-owned businesses. A commission on equity, contracting, and purchasing that will have oversight of this must not only look for opportunities, but also I hope that they will find where the disparities exist, what are the cause of those said disparities, and enforce the necessary corrective measures regardless of the contractor or the entity, and they must be of a nature and such that it deters trying to get around supporting and fulfilling what the ordinance calls for. So therefore, I do support the passage of this ordinance and urge the council to pass this ordinance with due diligence and support for implementation and continuance of the Commission on Equity, Contracting, and Purchasing. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak this morning.
Thank you. Joanne, are you next, or Michael?
Good morning, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I am here to testify in support of the ordinance in front of you. It's ironic. I realize that I've been around for a long, 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 long time because I remember a couple of mayors ago sitting right at this table talking about minority contracting and the really poor job we were doing, even though we continue to pay contractors big money to develop disparity studies to tell us what a bad job we were doing. Ironically, those reports sit on the shelves gathering dust today. I want to echo James Posey's thank you for the leadership that you're showing Mayor Hales and actually bringing this to light once again. Ironically, I was on a pre-approved contract for contracting for the city of Portland a couple of mayors ago. And the interesting thing was the other two firms that were on that same list, one of them got all the city contracting for public involvement. The other one got the contracts when that particular firm didn't get them all. And then there was me. And I was on that pre-approved list for 4 years, and I got zero contracts. And so needless to say, I wouldn't have eaten if I'd been waiting for my pre-approved contracts to come through the city of Portland. And so we've done this over and over and over again, and I am hopeful that this process this time will really have some aggressive goals that will really ensure that there's accountability when contractors pretend that they're hiring women and minority firms. And the last thing I will say is please don't stop at minority firms. We want to know how many African-American business owners are getting contracts in the city of Portland. We want to know how many Latino business owners, how many Asian Pacific Islanders are getting contracts. I think we start hiding behind the minority term because we don't want to deal with what's happening with individual business owners in this city. And so I look forward to working with the commission and helping them figure out what your role will be and actually pushing the envelope. The last thing I will say is, Commissioner Fritz, when I was at the county, we developed some very creative ways to ensure that minority business owners got contracts. We would make the contracts smaller. We would actually develop a pool of contracts that were just for emerging small businesses and businesses that were owned by people of color. If the political will is there, you can create the system whereby you can get the outcomes you're looking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, member of council. My name is Mike Alexander, and I serve as president and chief executive officer of the Urban League of Portland. And I'm here today to offer testimony on behalf of the Urban League in support of this proposed ordinance. In September of 2012, as a very new CEO, I testified before this council in support of a community benefits agreement that would govern major city finance construction projects. That ordinance was proposed to strengthen the city's commitment to equal opportunity and contracting for all persons and to support Portland's social equity contracting initiative. The CBA was a significant milestone that served to focus multiple stakeholders on a concerted effort to ensure that goals for workforce diversity and community inclusion were integral parts of planning and bidding processes for all contractors. Since that time, leadership within communities of color and their industry and labor partners have worked to define a path that allows the city to move more deliberately towards that goal. But it's clear that more needs to be done. Most minority jobs in construction are in trucking, flagging, moving dirt, and cleaning up. The high-paid skilled jobs in mechanics, electrical, and plumbing primarily go to the majority workforce. In the recently released study authored by Professor Stevens and her colleagues at PSU, the Selwood Bridge Project was reviewed, and it was clear from that review that some progress has been made. However, that progress is seriously restricted in scope. Workers of color on the project make approximately 20% less than majority workers. In looking at the disparities between African American workers as well as majority workers, that gap is twice as wide. And so we support this ordinance as a necessary strategy to move the city's stated but yet unrealized commitment forward. We want to ensure that taxpayer money for public construction has a long reach into communities of color. And we believe that the establishment of this committee holds the potential to lead diversity for the sake of advancing equity, as opposed to diversity for the sake of diversity. I thank you, as always, for the opportunity to provide testimony, and I commend you and the work of this council in this ordinance in support of the needs of the residents of the city of Portland and of the community that I serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you all. Thank you very much. A couple more panels. We have next Stephen Green and Tony Jones. I think they're here. Yes.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor Harris, commissioners. My name is Tony Jones. I'm here as the vice chair of the Coalition of Black Men. We are here to support approval of the ordinance to establish the Commission on Equitable Contracting and Purchasing that reports directly to the mayor. I believe this commission can be the model that can be replicated in other government agencies to improve the procurement and workforce practices to increase utilization of minority contractors and people of color in the workforce. By approving this ordinance, the City of Portland is demonstrating that the issue of economic equity for MBE and WBE businesses and minority and women workers is a guiding principle for our city, and that regardless of who is mayor in the mayor's office, the city will lead the way. Through analysis of its own procurement practices, by establishing clear guidelines for measuring MBE and WBE participation and utilization of minority and women workers. This elevates equity to its rightful place if we are serious about changing the economic dynamics for communities of color and women. The report, Economic Equities of Community of Color, the Effectiveness of Minority Contracting Initiatives, demonstrates two clear points. The current measurements at best show mixed results and show very limited accountability to none at all for not meeting contracting and workforce goals. There needs to be consistent guidelines within agencies of what indices are to be measured in public procurement to measure economic benefit and growth for communities of color and hold us accountable for results. The report points out the shortcomings of current measurement practices, combining the data between different types of certifications and lumping all employment results together are some examples. This lack of clear guidelines lead to mixed results at best and continues opportunities for maintaining the status quo and further abuses in counting economic participation of communities of color. The City of Portland, by approving this ordinance, can lead the way to establish clear indices and measurements, establish and celebrate best practices, and make recommendations to support those best practices when we are achieving success, and implement corrective actions when our targets are not being met. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. I'm not Stephen Green, and I don't see him here. I'm James Winters. I am the managing partner of Blue Leopard Capital. We are a venture capital private equity firm funded exclusively by people of color. Under different circumstances than perhaps the description of crowdfunding that we heard here earlier today. I am here to support the ordinance with some provisos. I think that similar efforts have been made in the past, and the results have been mixed. I guess I've probably been in Portland business a little longer than I care to disclose, but I hope this effort results in some different outcomes than I've had an opportunity to witness. At the end of the day, in my opinion, I hope I don't break ranks too farly with our previous speakers, this is a capital issue. I think I had heard Commissioner Fish kind of bring that up, and it kind of got settled back down. This is a capital issue. Bonding is a capital issue. Competitiveness is a capital issue. And if, for example, the diesel initiative, I want my air to be clean, I want my daughter's air to be clean, but if that was passed, it would severely impact a lot of the companies that are seated in this room simply because they will not have or would not have access to the type of capital to retrofit or replace their equipment. Most of these enterprises that are here, as why we're talking about crowdfunding, are well beyond the need for a $50,000 investment. And then there may be a couple that tap me on the shoulder and say, man, I could use the $50,000, so maybe you shouldn't have said that. But for the benefit of our discussion, I would say that most of them are well beyond that. And to prosper and for them to grow, they will need access to traditional avenues of capital, be it private equity, be it venture capital, or non-traditional debt that are already established in the financial community but seem to be off limits to most of us. We have been dealing with this issue. Our firm has been dealing with this issue for 10 years. We have all investors, private investors. A majority of them are African Americans. They want their money just like any other investor. Now, when I have gone out and tried to supplement that capital, follow on that capital with other capital pools that are in this area, be it the state or the city, I feel like I'm being faced with a different set of circumstances. If these businesses are ever going to make it, I think that the appetite for this type of perspective on capital where, hey, we don't, you know, we want to loan you the money, has to kind of be discussed. Anybody that had to borrow their way to contracting, I think, is going to be challenged to be a growing business, one that can provide jobs, and one that can successfully put itself in a position to compete over the long term. Some of that, some of the financing needs to be actual capital, fixed capital, permanent capital. And it needs to be put in there in a position that the investors are getting returns that they would get elsewhere. It could be, and I think it's likely to be, that if this were the case, if you were allowed to have this perspective, some of the issues around apprenticeship and job creation and training could be a part of their revenue model. And maybe you wouldn't have to go out to several people and say, hey, train people for jobs. This could be done by the entrepreneurs themselves. So if this is to work, I think that the capital situation has to be addressed. And the decision should be made by similarly situated firms. I've been in business for myself probably 20 years. I've seen what happens when some people go in for loans and some people go in and ask for capital. And I understand what goes into decision more so than perhaps others. If that's done correctly, you will have firms that are successful that happen to be people of color and not because they're people of color. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I just appreciate you being here. And if Stephen was here, I think he would say in terms of a community-minded bank that having the involvement of private equity and banks like Umpqua, his bank, in this effort at the commission level is going to be really important, because I think one of the reasons why these problems have been so intractable is capital. So I really appreciate you highlighting that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Thank you both very much. And the final three folks that I want to call are Jeff Moreland, Alondo Simpson, and Cynthia Harris. Alondo was here.
Orlando, if you want to come.
Come on up, Orlando. Did you sign up?
Orlando.
You can speak if you want or pass if you want. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Jeff Moreland, for the record. I am the owner and president of Raymore Construction. We are a minority contractor located in Northeast Portland. We've been in business for roughly 14, 15 years. We employ anywhere from 20 to 30 people, depending upon our workload, of which 80 to 90%, depending upon the work the amount, are minority. So there's a couple things we've kind of gone through and addressed this. I'm in strong support of this commission. I've been around, again, for a long time now, and I'm very active in the minority community, first from a contractor perspective or just an advocate in the community itself. So this commission, I think, is going to be critical to actually moving things forward for a number of reasons. First of which is that I think it provides a clear program goals that can be complied consistently throughout the various departments and agencies. So those goals are not necessarily interpreted individually by those different departments and agencies individually. So we have a consistent, clear methodology in which we're moving forward on how the goals are going to be applied. The next thing is that we talked about is the mechanism to access and analyze the data with a consistent, clear methodology to adequately evaluate if those goals set are achieving the desired outcome. The commission will have the ability to provide some consistent accountability to the various departments or agencies with an opportunity to actually make changes while the projects are still going on versus us always being a lessons learned. You know, we typically go through these, and at the end of the project, we're able to look at the project and realize that we didn't get what we necessarily needed, right? And then finally, one of the things is that the fact that it's collaborative is that I see this for a change being a situation to where we will actually not necessarily be top-down as much as it is bottom-up driven. I'm a contractor. I'm a businessman. I'm degreed. I've worked as a high-level executive for corporations prior to starting my business. I can run my own business. If I have the same level playing field, right, I'm a finance guy, so I have a good access to capital, and I understand all those markets. My issue is being able to find work at the right margin. When you start talking about the low bid, one of the things that James mentioned, it puts me in a very precarious situation considering that I don't have 50 years of capital resources at my disposal to be able to buy the necessary iron that I need, meaning the construction equipment, to be able to do the work. And when you're operating in the state, for example, in ODOT, when companies are operating at margins of 5 to 7%, there's just absolutely no way I can compete with that and be able to build, you know, my company and to be able to train my employees and the things I need. So we have a very rigorous training program where we train our own apprentices. We're very committed to the African-American community and the minority community as whole. So most of our workers tend to be in that category, and we train them ourselves. And we've been able to do that by some of the support of some of the agencies like TriMet have been able to afford creative opportunities for us to be able to do that. So I just encourage, you know, you guys passing this ordinance, letting the commission go and giving it all the support you can. Thank you.
Thank you.
You complete.
Right. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name is Cynthia Harris, and I'm emerging business. I'm the CEO and president of Hatch Coaching, and I've received zero contracts for the past years. I did receive something from Children's Alliance and DHS, and so I'm still struggling, but I did discover something, a project Climb through PCC. And I'm applying for a scholarship to tighten my business. So I first want to thank you, Mayor, for joining the NAACP. Yay! I'm the third vice president of the NAACP, and my real goal is to make a difference. And I'm here for people of color, but I'm also here as a collaborator for human beings, that we would look at possibilities as humans to work together, to make a difference, to give each other opportunities. So what I've been doing for the past 5 years, I do a lot of volunteer work, but I would also like to get paid with my volunteer work. Right now, I'm volunteering with the birthing and midwives program, and I'm mentoring young people, and I'm making a difference. But I realize something, you can't really live unless you have money and have opportunities. So I'd like to support the ordinance through the community work that I do, through sitting on the gang task force, through doing my mentoring work, and the work I do with Landmark Education, which is a transformation technology which help us look at possibilities. So I would like to encourage us all to look at transformation, look at possibilities, and work together to make this a better city. One of the things I've noticed, I've been here since 2006, and it was really clear to me that it was different. But what's different now is there's a listening, that we're all listening for each other. And I would like for us to not only continue that listening, but to build in support and processes and have communication that we can really help each other and lift each other up so that we can all have a good life. I want to thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for being the listening for the city.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Simpson.
Great. Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of the council. My name is Orlando Simpson, for the record. I am a small business owner here in Portland, Oregon, of actually the first ever African-American-owned integrated solid waste and recycling company in the state of Oregon. So I wanted to kind of articulate a little bit about innovation, because I believe that myself and my father have established ourselves as pioneers in that regard for people of our community. I am 100% on board and supportive of this ordinance, primarily because it's just going to provide the much-needed oversight and accountability in regards to construction for people of color. I believe that the city has a very strong commitment to sustainability, and that is spread and it's resonated around the world. And one area in regards to sustainability that we unfortunately have a hard time measuring is our social equity endeavors that we've invested a lot into. And I think that this is a perfect opportunity, just with the information that has came from the team at Portland State and the things that have been articulated by Mr. Posey, that this provides a platform with real-time data in that context to provide measurements of what we're doing on our social equity endeavors. And it also, back to the context of innovation, puts Portland in a great position when we start talking about just the growing populations of color and how that's affecting all metropolitan areas around the United States right now. It enables us to start having that dialogue about what we're doing differently, innovatively, and essentially it adds more fruit to the table in terms of what we're doing in our local environment and our economy, as well as what we're doing for the individuals that make up that fabric, and trying to assure that we have profitable, sustainable outcomes for our people of color. And I just wanted to thank you guys for allowing me to be here today. And I was not prepared, because I was uncertain that I was going to be here. I just was here to support the ordinance, and I'm looking forward to seeing it being passed. So thank you.
Thank you all. Well, I think what you've seen from these panels, I think we've all seen from these panels, that we've got a lot of sophisticated expertise in the community that we can call on to serve on this commission and actually want to propose an amendment, because the proposal here is to make this a commission that advises the whole city council, not an advisory committee that advises a commissioner in charge. Each of us has the prerogative to create those kind of committees and appoint folks and have them advise us in our work, in our portfolio. But of course, contracting spans out through the whole city. Even though I'm the commissioner in charge of finance and administration, every bureau, or almost every bureau, does some construction. So this should be, as our other commissions, one where I nominate and the rest of the council approves appointments. So I want to make that amendment that item 1A2 will say the mayor may nominate up to 7 voting members of the commission, subject to approval of the commissioner's appointments by the council. So I want to propose that amendment.
Second. Mayor, can I ask a question on the motion, which I support?
Please.
We've had a lot of different bodies we've appointed to recently. In some instances, individual council members nominated someone. In some instances, the mayor consulted with the council to come up with his slate of nominees. And we tried other models. How do you intend to recruit and nominate the seven members of this commission.
Well, I also obviously want to call on each of you to suggest appointees, because again, this won't work if it's, you know, only housed in my office, and that's why this methodology matters. I think over time we might want to think through and to some extent maybe regularize a little more how we do these commissions, but typically if it's a commission like the Planning and Sustainability Commission, the commissioner in charge proposes people to serve and the whole council votes on it, and that makes complete sense. And I think in this case, because again, it's a enterprise-wide function of advising how the city does construction, regardless of which bureau is doing it. So I certainly want to solicit nominees from each of you, try to configure a package of seven initial members of this commission, and probably consider that all in one ordinance.
I appreciate that. And also, I know from the experience we had, I think that predates you on the council, when we did the last disparity study, there was a community-led oversight panel. Some of the individuals we've heard from today, and they raised a number of the same concerns about barriers, and I would hope that we could potentially recruit someone who had that experience to help us follow through on the findings of the disparity study.
Yeah, good suggestion. I mean, I think it's all of us, and we've heard it here in testimony today, and we're going to take public testimony next, but, none of us wants to be involved in a Groundhog Day operation here where we keep living the same thing over and over again like the guy in the movie. We're trying to actually learn. That's why the data matters so much. Then have real horsepower in this commission advising all of us about what's working, what's not working, what to change, what new tools to try, like the ones that James was talking about in terms of how we contract. So I think this gives us a chance to take this effort to another level of performance and then be continuously measuring how we do. So let's take a vote on adopting the amendment, and then we'll take public testimony.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
Mr. Mayor, I have another friendly amendment.
Okay.
I'm really impressed with the panel discussion that you've had today, and I recognize that Mayor Potter and Mayor Adams both had passion for this issue, as do you. I think forming the commission is one step. The other piece that will keep it to the forefront is regular reports to council.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have that in number nine on page three of the ordinance, but I would suggest in addition to it says the commission shall submit periodic reports on utilization to the council. I'd like to add at least annually.
Mm. Okay, I think that is a friendly amendment. So unless there's any objection, we'll just make that change. Obviously, we want formal reports periodically and at least annually is the minimum, but having this on the dashboard means that literally we're going to have constant information about how we're doing, and I like that. Okay, anyone signed up to speak, please?
I show two people left, Charles Johnson and Tyrone Bailey.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I'm very glad for all...
Tyrone.
Good morning.
Okay. I didn't mean to usurp you. I was glad to hear Amanda offer the friendly amendment, because obviously some behind-the-scenes work went into this, and we already have a number of independent commissions. Most frequently, I attend the Human Rights Commission, which meets monthly. Planning and Sustainability has had some fun encounters with us down at 1900 Southwest as we talk about what we're going to do with the reservoirs. With this, to make this amendment real, you not only have to fulfill the letters of the amendment, but you have to have your behind-the-scenes conversations. Coming up on this agenda, we're going to have $1 million or so for a firm some people may have heard of. Maybe you've heard of HDR. And we need to make sure that these minority contractors are having you use your personal political capital so that there's face-to-face interaction with general contractors and real dialogue between parts of our community that don't have a lot of interaction. So in addition to strongly supporting this amendment and the development of this commission, I want to see each of you commissioners make sure that lunches happen, that meetings happen in the City Hall, and probably within a week, we need to, as soon as we know who these commissioners are going to be, we need to schedule the review so that Mr. Posey and the other people who have presented, the president of the Urban League, can proactively and quickly talk about shortcomings so we don't have a review meeting in a year or 18 months where we say, oh, we're still at 7%, or, wow, congratulations to us. We got the MWESB, the Minority Women and Emerging Small Business Participation, all the way up from 7% to 8%. That's not good enough. You know, obviously any progress is helpful to those businesses, but please,